New heading, the Indian Talking Stick. After I trained Indian chiefs who head up Indian nations in the United States and Canada, the chiefs gave me a wonderful gift, a beautiful carved 5-foot-tall talking stick with the name Bald Eagle inscribed on it. The talking stick has played an integral part in Native American government for centuries. In fact, some of the founding fathers of the American Republic, particularly Benjamin Franklin, were educated in the ideas behind the talking stick by Indian chiefs of the Iroquois Federation. It is one of the most powerful communication tools I've ever seen, because while it's tangible and physical, it embodies a concept that is powerfully synergistic. This talking stick represents how people with differences can come to understand one another through mutual respect, which then enables them to solve their differences and problems synergistically, or at the very least, through compromise. Here's the theory behind it. Whenever people meet together, the talking stick is present. Only the person holding the talking stick is permitted to speak. As long as you have the talking stick, you alone may speak until you are satisfied that you are understood. Others are not permitted to make their own points, to argue, agree, or disagree. All they may do is attempt to understand you and then articulate that understanding. They may need to restate your point to make sure you feel understood, or you may simply feel that they do understand. They might ask questions regarding the level of their understanding, but their whole focus is to understand you. Then as soon as you feel understood, it is your obligation to pass the talking stick to the next person, and then to work to make him feel understood. As he makes his points, you have to listen, restate, and empathize until he truly feels understood. This way, all of the parties involved take responsibility for 100% of the communication, both speaking and listening. Once each of the parties feels understood, an amazing thing usually happens. Negative energy dissipates, contention evaporates, mutual respect grows, and people become positive and creative. New ideas emerge. Third alternatives appear. Remember, to understand does not mean to agree with. It just means to be able to see with the other person's eyes, heart, mind, and spirit. One of the deepest needs of the human soul is to be understood. Once that need is met, the personal focus can shift to interdependent problem-solving. But if that very intense need for understanding is not met, ego battles take place, turf issues arise, defensive and protective communication is the order of the day. Sometimes contention, even violence, can erupt. The human need to feel understood is like the lungs' need for air. If all the air were suddenly sucked out of the room that you're in, how motivated would you be to get air? Would you be interested in having a discussion or working out some difference between you and somebody else? Of course not. You just want one thing. You'd be open to other things only after you've got air. Feeling understood is the equivalent of psychological air. The same process we've been discussing can take place in people's minds without a talking stick, though it doesn't necessarily provide the same tangible discipline of clearly transferring the responsibility to speak with courage and then listen with empathy. There's a tremendous focus of attention and personal interest when you actually have a physical stick. You don't need an actual talking stick. You could use a pencil, a spoon, or a piece of chalk, any tangible thing that physically places the responsibility upon the speaker to pass it only when he feels understood and not until he does. Have you ever sat in a meeting where you could just feel the hidden agendas operating? Think of the power of inserting the idea of the talking stick into such a meeting. If using the actual stick or pencil seems inappropriate, then express the basic underlying concept or idea. Simply speak up at the beginning of the meeting before people become emotionally invested in the jugular issues. And even if you're not the chair of the meeting, just say something like this. We're going to be talking about a lot of important things today that people have strong feelings about. To help us in our communication, why don't we agree that no one can make his or her point until they restate the last person's point to his or her satisfaction? Even though this statement doesn't introduce the physical talking stick, it does introduce the essence of the idea, because no one can make his or her point until the other can say, "I feel understood." Many may hesitate to buy into this process because it seems a little pedestrian, even childish and inefficient. But I'll guarantee you, it's just the opposite. It requires such self-control and draws such maturity into the communication that even though it may seem inefficient at first, it becomes highly effective. That is, it achieves the desired results in terms of both synergistic decisions and synergistic relationships, bonding, and trust. Here's how a meeting might go with you as the facilitator of the Indian Talking Stick concept. Sylvia and Roger are in a meeting. Right in the middle of Sylvia's efforts to explain her point, Roger says something like, "I disagree with Sylvia. I think what we should do is..." You interrupt and say, "Excuse me, Roger. Remember what we agreed upon to help us in our communication?" Roger replies, "Oh yeah, I'm supposed to make Sylvia's point first. Then I can make mine." You answer, "No, Roger. You don't make Sylvia's point. You make Sylvia's point to her satisfaction. Then you can make your own." "Oh, yeah, that's right," he responds. "What was Sylvia's point, Roger?" He attempts to make it. "Is that correct, Sylvia?" "No, not at all. What I'm trying to say is..." Roger interrupts again. "Again now, Roger, what's our ground rule?" "Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to make Sylvia's point to her satisfaction." So for the first time, he struggles to listen more deeply and essentially mimics her. "How was that, Sylvia?" you ask. She responds, "Well, he mimicked me, but he didn't get the spirit of my point at all." "Sorry, Roger. Try again." "When's it my time?" he says. "I've been up with my staff 2 nights preparing for this meeting." Remember the ground rule, Roger? There's no admission to this arena without the ticket of the other person saying that you understand their point. So he is torn between his ego needs, his hidden agendas, his desire to speak, and the realization that he is not a player until he first understands to the other's satisfaction. So for the first time, he really listens empathically. Sylvia says, "Thank you, Roger. I do feel understood." "Okay, Roger, your turn." Roger looks and says, "I agree with Sylvia." My experience is that if people really try to understand each other, they will, in most but not all cases, come to agree with each other. Why? Because over 90% of all communication problems are caused by differences in either semantics or perceptions. Again, semantics means the way you define words or terms. Perception means how you interpret data. Whenever people listen to each other with true empathy, that is, within the other's frame of reference, both semantic and perceptual problems dissolve. That is because they're listening from within the other's frame of reference. They're sensing how the other defines words and terms, and how the other interprets meaning and data. This puts them on the same song sheet, using the same language, which then enables them to get on with problem solving on the other 10% of the genuine disagreements. The spirit of this mutual understanding is so affirming, so healing, so bonding, that when people do discuss their disagreements, they do it in agreeable ways and are usually able to solve them either through synergy or a form of compromise. And if they have had this experience, they are so bonded, they will not be disloyal to each other behind each other's back. It would violate their integrity too much. Silence is also a key to Indian talking stick communication with others. We must be quiet, even silent, to begin to deeply empathize with others. Of the power of this silence, Robert Greenleaf commented, "One must not be afraid of a little silence. Some find silence awkward or oppressive, but a relaxed approach to dialogue will include the welcoming of some silence. It is often a devastating question to ask oneself, but it is sometimes important to ask it. In saying what I have in mind, will I really improve on the silence?" On a lighter note, let me share a story I heard recently that shows the effects of a person who does not understand or practice the Indian talking stick concept. A farmer went into the attorney's office wanting to file for divorce from his wife. The attorney asked, "May I help you?" To which the farmer replied, "Yeah, I want to get one of those divorces." The attorney said, "Well, do you have any grounds?" And the farmer said, "Yeah, I got about 140 acres. The attorney said, "No, you don't understand. Do you have a case?" And the farmer replied, "No, I don't have a case, but I have a John Deere." And the attorney said, "No, you really don't understand. I mean, do you have a grudge?" And the farmer replied to that, "Yeah, I got a grudge. That's where I park my John Deere." The attorney, still trying, asked, "No, sir, I mean, do you have a suit?" The farmer replied, "Yes, sir, I got a suit. I wear it to church on Sundays." The exasperated and frustrated attorney said, "Well, sir, does your wife beat you up or anything?" The farmer replied, "No, sir, we both get up about 4:30. Finally, the attorney says, "Okay, let me put it this way. Why do you want a divorce?" And the farmer says, "Well, I never have a meaningful conversation with her."